Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back. And we've got some fun things for you today.
We do. These were two. Yes. I forgot. I forgot this is a Dr. Sally episode. I don't know how I completely forgot that. They didn't mention it in the synopsis, which I feel like is really rude because Dr. Yeah, Sally is an icon. Disrespectful. Yes. How are you?
I am doing well, Sanique. I am... How do I feel? I'm doing well. I had a really good weekend. I'm still having a good weekend. And yeah, it's just kind of winding down. The school year is winding down, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And the weather's been really nice. It's not like that hot, like disgusting weather yet that you're mm-hmm. like, when you're like out for the day, you don't like have to think about like, do I need to go home and shower in between activities, you know?
Right.
So yeah, life is good. I mean, truly the highlight of my year thus far, possibly my life, is that I got a new mattress topper. I have a comfortable bed now. If you guys follow me on Instagram, or if you have seen my Instagram before when I moved into my apartment, I have a very uncomfortable Chinese bed. Chinese beds are very, very firm and stiff. Sometimes just a plank of wood or slices of bamboo in a kind of refined sense, are kind of like traditional Chinese beds. Buckwheat pillows are a thing here. And no, I'm not talking about like, you know, ancient times. They're talking about 2021 buckwheat pillows.
So are they filled with straw?
It feels like it. It feels like you're going to like a museum and you're seeing what the slave quarters were like. And you're like, this is what they slept on. That's what you're buying.
Damn.
Like, and they're expensive too.
Damn, not slave quarters. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Cause it's like,
yeah, very- I'm trying to conceptualize that. Cause like, you mean the state, the whole like memory foam is like, you know, the name of the game. So I'm like, a buckwheat pillow.
Okay. It's very like the traditional, like kind of traditional, like, is kind of affiliated with Chinese medicine, and what's good for the body is kind of seen as like these kind of structures are good for kind of sleeping and good for like overall body health. Which I will say, too soft of a bed is not really great either.
But that's true. Yeah.
I also like some comfort. So I got a memory foam topper and I realized that my first night sleeping on it, I realized the squalor that I was living in or sleeping on. And my life is better for it. So.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that this was an issue of like, are most people in Beijing sleeping on beds that are very uncomfortable, or is this a you problem?
This is a China problem. So like, I'm talking about like the most standard, like basic ass mattress that like a normal kind of like average house would have is in from my American like viewing point, is very, very firm. Like maybe not even a mattress. We're talking like a softer box spring type thing.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I need to. A nice we got a new mattress a few months ago and it definitely has improved my sleeping. Right. Got some new pillows too, and they're like, ooh, the kind that they stay cool.
Oh, I need one of those so bad.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. Ugh. A nice bed will really like really changes up the situation. Mm-hmm. You know,
very much so.
Oh my god, we're so fucking old. a good mattress is really all you need.
A good mattress, man.
I heard how old is that?
Listen.
Liz, I need lumbar support, baby.
Listen, and I also, when I tell you I was trying to get out of bed the other day, I think I'm pretty sure I slit like 3 discs in my vertebrae. I'm like, this is gonna affect me later. I know it. Like,
yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Wow. But I'm happy for you about that. That you got like a new comfy bed situation.
Thank you. I didn't realize how monumental it was for me until I got it. I think I was just like, oh, I'll finally get one. And then I was like, oh wow, this is life changing.
Damn, luxury.
But how are you doing, Miss Anique, with your new mattress?
My new mattress. Can't wait to sleep in it tonight. I'm doing okay. This week was a lot for me. Continuation of the whole like viral TikTok thing. Ooh, I went private on some platforms because people were like finding me on like other social media and like calling me racist and like bullying me.
Oh my god, no. Not cyber bullies. These are high school
fucking bullies. In the words of Gabby Hanna.
Yeah.
No, I'm okay. It's funny. Like my approach now is just like I'm laying low. Mm-hmm. On TikTok, at least I'm still tweeting and shit, but laying low on that platform until the racists get tired of me, and then I can continue to create on TikTok. But yeah, that like was a weird start to my week, and then I got like vaccinated as well on Sunday.
Girl, yes, so. We are both fully vaccinated, like thriving young women.
Yes, look at us. I'm very excited. Still waiting for the 2-week line. The 16th is like the day where I guess I'm like fully vaxxed, which I'm excited about because, my friends, two of my friends here in Chicago, who I haven't seen in like literally like months, cause we hung out a little bit during quarantine. They were some of the few people I was like comfortable hanging out with, but then we kind of fell off a little bit. But we're having a Sunday fun day next Sunday. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm gonna be fully vaxxed. I can like sit outside and not be like worried about like being in like not in crowds, but at least being out and about, and it's like safe.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And my mom and sister are also coming to visit next week as well. And I haven't seen them since October. So I'm excited to hang out, and you know, I might be a tourist. I hate taking people on like Chicago tourist stuff, but I think I will just because it's been so long. I'm like, okay, I'll go see the bean.
Yeah.
For like the 30th time. I'll go see the bean. It'll kill me to go see the bean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, that is amazing.
In high spirits now. Yeah. I also had like some weird shit happen, like some interpersonal conflict, we'll say, keep a PR this week, which kind of like threw me off, but I'm feeling so much better. I'm very happy that I have friends and support systems that keep me accountable and that I can turn to when I'm in those situations. So I'm
happy to hear that.
I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that because not, you know, I won't speak on like what the issue was. It was like Twitter drama. I'm going to get into it. But I think one thing I'm looking back on is the fact that I think not everybody is so lucky to have those types of networks. And I think people like that tend to lash out because of that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm happy. I'm like, I hope that these people find that.
Yes.
So they can like, you know, get a fucking grip. Anyway.
Yes.
I'm doing well though. I got a Pink Floyd t-shirt. I braided my hair.
Yes, girl. Looking.
I'm thriving.
Look, 30, flirty, and thriving. You know?
Please don't put that on me. I'm not 30 yet. I still have 20. One more year with my
28 flirty and thriving.
28 feeling great and my period's not late. It's all the gas.
Yep. I just finished my
throwback.
Yep. Every month it's like, yes, girl, we did it. Look at us. Just like hanging out with your uterus, be like, look at us, we did it. Look at you.
Look at us, all empty. I love that. Just you and me, babe. Don't need nobody else.
Evan's like, what the fuck?
Trust me, he's also on the same wavelength. Oh, of like, God. Please don't. have a baby right yes. now. But anyway, do we have some folks you want to shout out? Some special broomheads?
Yes.
Which, by the way, all of you are. All of you are special.
All of you are. But the ones that leave us ratings and reviews and send us DMs are the very special broomheads. Because we know you by name. VIP. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or at least your internet name.
Exactly. So today we are giving a shout out. We've given this person a shout out so many times. And every time I forget your name, I think both of us could I like connect with her and chat with her on Instagram, if not every day, almost every day. But I forget her name every time. She's like a chef. She like makes really, oh. really.
Like, I was just chatting with her food. The other day because she told me about how like, yeah, because I did on We Die First, we did the episode on the birds and apparently like she lives like not too far from where they filmed it and lives like a very like idyllic like chef's life and like the coast, like Northern California. Like this is lovely.
I know.
I was like, I'm so jealous of your life.
It's I know.
So like quaint and like pleasant.
I know. Yes, so
very girl, big, I imagine like it's like Big Little Lies, but like minus the murders and shit. She's like,
when I tell you that's like my ideal life, that's literally my ideal life. Mm-hmm. But girl, you know exactly who you are.
Yes,
you know exactly who you are, and we truly apologize. But like, we literally like, you know, but again, we know you by your internet name on. An Apple Reviews, West Marin Mermaid, the chef lady, the connoisseur. And the review says, make my day so much happier. These women are so funny and down to earth and witty. Even though I'm the same age as the OG class of Degrassi, I feel like I could kick it with Lauren and Sonique all day.
Aww.
Girl, let's kick it. Like, let's do it.
Yeah, but yeah, please DM us and let us know your name again. I apologize. I hope we're not like shitty people, but I guess we are.
Yeah, she always sends the best memes and like the best like random accounts.
She does, and she always sends like the nicest like little messages too.
I know, she's perfect.
Okay, now I feel really bad. I'm sorry. Okay, please. when we meet and we are in California, you can. I'll tell you my deepest, darkest secret and you can use it to like destroy me and like my reputation in the town. As payback. Okay?
And then we're eventually going to murder someone to save them from being assaulted.
Yes. And then we'll stand by the rocks.
Yeah.
At sunrise. We'll be back after a quick break. Okay, this week we watched episodes 5 and 6, Parents' Day and The Mating Game. So starting off with episode 5, Parents' Day, which aired November 18th, 2001. With Parents' Day fast approaching, Toby tries to convince his divorced parents that the event is canceled in order to avoid an ugly public spat between them. Meanwhile, Ashley and Paige vie for the attention of Toby's mom, who happens to be a casting agent. Emma is annoyed by the NAK, News About Kids, morning announcements program, believing it to be biased. She then writes an opinionated paper about NAK and gets into an argument with Sean and his brother about it.
Listen. This was a good episode. It was okay. It was okay. But I don't know. I think now that we're in next gen, I'm kind of like surprised each time of like, oh wow, like they're kind of like just kind of touching on more like I guess relevant topics that I think are more relative to today than like, you know, this pollution from the factory, that's bad. We should do something about it, you know?
Right.
It's
issues that kids would realistically be bothered by.
Yeah.
Not that kids don't care about pollution, but like, I mean, most kids don't really care about pollution. Yeah. Sorry, Greta, but they don't.
We're just being honest.
Sorry, Ratatouille. Just me. I just like, I've said this on this podcast before. I just want to meet Greta Thunberg and just be a huge bitch to her for no reason other than just like, I'm just jealous that she's so accomplished at her age and I wasn't. And I just want to like, be like, oh, cute. just because, like, I'm a bad person. So we get our cold open. And JT and Toby are walking to school. Toby's not thrilled because Parents' Day is fast approaching. His parents are divorced and they do not do well together. And he just knows that Parents' Day will be like ground zero, honestly.
Yeah. And he's like counting down the hours until it's happening. It's really, honestly, after watching the episode, at this point, I'm kind of like, oh, Toby's so dramatic. But I'm like, man, Toby is living in a fucked up situation.
It is. Being a kid of divorce is not fun. And I too, till this day, my parents don't argue. Like, they don't have a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. But, like, till this day, sometimes I'm kind of, like, in situations where we have to, like, be together. I'm like, oh, God. Like, I'm just... It's just stressful still. I don't know why. I think maybe it's like residual kid stuff, yeah. But you're like now that I'm like, I'm soon will be like planning my wedding. I'm just kind of like, oh, mm-hmm. Like I just know there's going to be an issue somehow, some way there will be. And it's like, yeah. Not thrilled about it, but so what, who cares?
Who cares? Yeah.
I don't know why I just sound like Joy Behar just now. So what, who cares?
It happens.
Can we talk about JT's outfit game though? Like JT has like he's got like, his shit be like icy though.
What the hell?
JT be looking nice. Like he got like a matchy like backwards hat with like the shirt and like the sneaks and like the pants. Like yeah. JT brings it every fucking day.
JT.
He's glossy, like.
he's that kid that like his... Because there's boys that like, because obviously, okay, what am I saying? JT was the boy who had parents who like took him shopping and bought him like lots of clothes, which for boys mm-hmm. doesn't happen a whole lot. But like, I would mm-hmm. say every several months he goes shopping with his mom or his grandma or someone, and they go to like fucking JCPenney and they hit up like all the deals and the steals, and he gets like the kind of like trendy, like the trendy kid fits. So he's got like, I think at this point he's wearing like these like neon orange like cargo pants and like a mm-hmm. backwards baseball hat. But like it's all kind of coordinated.
But the hat's like coordinated. Yeah. It's like color coordinated. Yeah.
And it's like someone's buying this shit for you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he looks very like kids catalog, like oh of the time. Yes. Or like he should be in a Gushers commercial or something.
Yes, he's very much, because I'm wondering, I am curious to know if, because we obviously know with retro Degrassi, they just wore their own clothes. I'm wondering if in now Degrassi, if they also wore their own clothes.
I think they did, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. If someone knows any better, please let me know. Yeah. But I want to say in when they do like the Degrassi, like behind the scenes with some people, I think it's implied, some of them do say that some stuff is theirs. I think there's more budget. So they did buy, like have a wardrobe. I think sometimes they also wore their own clothes or brought stuff that, you know.
Okay.
That fits yeah. to the character.
Because I mean, JT, so. Like, JT just is a spitting image of like a child star. Like how, mm-hmm. like how child stars like are in dress. And like, so I'm just like, oh, he looks like he's playing JT, but he looks like he could just like be. Like this is
he looks very Disney kid, like oh my God, of the exactly. time. Like he would like he that outfit could just as well translate into like an episode of Even Stevens.
Yeah.
Like he could also
very much
fit in that.
Yes, as well. Very much so.
Wow. All the bright colors. Mm-hmm. Disney loves to assault children with bright colors. It's crazy. Yeah. You really do. They want to make sure you can see these kids. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. I can see them. Okay, yeah, please, Mr. Walt Disney, please stop. So Toby breaks down the custody situation with his parents, and his whole thing is like, as long as they're apart, everything is fine. But he's like, I need to figure out a plan. Like, should we put E. coli in the water? Mr. Simpson's like, we actually test for that. And I'm like, of course you can. You mind your business? I hate when teachers would just like insert them. I'm like, was I talking? I wish I could say that as a kid. Like, was I talking to you, stranger? Like, this is an A and B conversation. Walk the fuck away from me, sir.
Yeah. Like, it's very nice.
I couldn't imagine being a weird adult. If I was a teacher, I couldn't like, I wouldn't just overhear students talking to me like, well, like, no, let the kids have their, you talk to them all day. Let them talk to each other, like something weird.
Yeah. He needs real friends. But yeah, this is the point when we realize that Toby is staying, he stays with his dad primarily. And then he goes to his mom's house on every other weekend. I remember thinking, I'm like, oh, dad has majority custody. What's that about?
Which, right. I also picked up on that because it is rare. Mm-hmm. Though I do hate the implications. We get into it later that it's like, she's just a career woman. I know, and I'm like, so she just makes
money. Why could she have problems with substance abuse? Like that. Like, why the ambition that has to be the negative part? Come on.
Yeah, he like got custody because of her female ambition, and that's what he hates. He's like, this is not good for Toby. Yeah, because even at one point when she's arguing with Jeff, she's like, oh, you and June Cleaver. So I'm guessing like Ashley's mom is kind of like always home and like does all the things, the mom stuff. And she's like, listen, bitch, like I have a career. I'm a fucking hotshot casting agent.
Get at me, bruh. Okay.
Yeah, like you're just gel, because whatever. What does he even do? Like, do we know what? Because later in the second episode, they're like to see him perform. Like, is he a musician? Like, what is his job?
Honestly, musician sounds cooler, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's like in community theater.
Ashley's mom's like getting all dolled up to see a community theater version of Our Town. Like, oh, she's gonna hate it.
Yeah, like ideally, like he's like first chair in like the Toronto like symphony
orchestra or something. Yeah,
but it's really he's like in the chorus line of like community theater.
Oh, man.
It's like, follow your dreams. Him. Anyone follow your dreams, but also like, come on.
Not that impressive. Media version of Mr. Simpson he's powering up the new episode of NAK, which is like this news program for children, and it's replacing the morning announcements that morning. Emma's not thrilled about it though. Did you notice that one of the newscasters was the guy from Alley Cat Strike?
Girl, I'm so glad you noticed this. Okay, he's in so many fucking things. Alley Cat Strike is where I remember him most, which if you guys are not familiar with that Disney Channel original movie, do your research.
Sexy bowling teens.
I mean,
teens who bowl.
They're like, let's make bowling sexy. That basically reinvigorated the bowling market in the United States.
But that guy was hot.
Oh my gosh, he was so fucking hot because he was
hot. Like, I would have joined the bowling team.
He was an Alley Cat Strike, and he was like that cool guy with long hair and like wore like bowling shirts with his name on it. It's like, fuck yes. He was also,
he loved like retro shit.
He was also in this episode of Degrassi. He was also the kind of boy like prospect for Raven Simone in Cheetah Girls.
Oh yeah,
the competing boy,
and he was like, you steal my boo.
Oh my god, I forgot about
that. I was like, oh, I remember watching that and like when I was a teenager, I was like, oh shit, like he got game though.
I know he was like the white boy in like a primarily like black and brown school that like had game. It's like, oh shit.
Oh yeah. Ugh. My panties would have dropped immediately. Like, of, like word.
Do you know that reference?
What the fuck was that?
That's like a TikTok audio.
I think I've never seen that one.
I have no idea where it's actually from, but I just know from TikTok.
I'm sorry, that noise is gross. I just named. Sorry. And you know who else he was? What else he was in? Oh,
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Unless you finish, you might say
The first one. He was fucking Paul.
I just watched that the other night.
That movie. Mm-hmm. I like those movies so much. Yeah, he's fucking Paul.
And he was wasted in that movie because he didn't say anything hardly. No, he just was hot. He just said no words.
Yeah,
hardly any lines is unfortunate.
Yeah, but
yeah, good for him. I wonder where if he's still working.
I don't know, but I it's such a random person that, like, why do I know all of his, like, acting accolades that are, like, so, like, random? Like, there's so many random roles from so many random movies. Why do I remember him?
Yeah, why do you have his whole, like, IMDb page memorized?
Like, memorized, just, like, living rent-free in my brain. Like, what the fuck?
No, I think he just was he was a very common face of the time. And I think he's Canadian. So he, like, because so much of this, like, kid content came out of Canada, like, yeah. Disney and Nickelodeon stuff, too. Like, I think, especially Disney, I think he just, like, was one of those, if you want, like, a cute blonde, you got him. He was like the post Eric Von Detten kind, like, type.
Yeah, post Hanson.
You know?
Yeah.
Eric Von Detten was, like, too old at this point. So you got this fucking bowling weirdo. But so they get the newscast, and it's, like, immediately classist and racist. They refer to these squeegee kids as cockroaches. I was like, whoa, this is wild that this is, like,
yeah,
it's
so,
like, alt-right. Like,
yeah, this like NAK, like, news broadcast is basically like the, like, Disney version of Fox News. Like, but even Fox News is, like, too,
it's like Fox News is like InfoWars.
It's like,
yes,
it's
like the was the Blaze or whatever they call it. Like, yeah, it's like very, it's very Ben Shapiro. Like, I'm surprised Ben Shapiro doesn't, like, make an appearance. I'm like, he's like, squeaky cans. I'm just squeaky cans. Like, shut the fuck up, you weirdo. So yeah. And also they refer to being a squeegee kid as the hot new trend. And I'm like, I don't think kids are, like, cleaning cars for fun.
It's so weird
because you need money.
The things coming out, they're like, it's a hot new trend for these kids to get money for drugs and tattoos, and it's like, what?
Yeah, I was like, I'm surprised they weren't like, and to pay their gang dues. I'm like, you don't have to pay gang dues. It's not the
Boy Scouts. Gangs are not that. They don't have notes from meetings. They don't, like, have dues. There's like, you know nothing about gangs.
I guess you pay your dues in, like, in the banging, you that's how you earn your dues, by exactly. Doing illegal shit. But at the end of class, Emma is, like, trying to talk to Liberty and Manny about how fucked up NAK is. She's like, these kids are poor, which she's right. And Liberty's like, my dad said if one of those ragamuffins touches his car again, which is a Jaguar by whatever, she didn't even say that, but I feel like she was like, it's a Jaguar.
Yeah.
He will call the mayor, and he knows the mayor. I'm like, okay, Liberty's dad, love that. But apparently NAK has also encouraged them to join the military too. Like, it's very conservative.
Right? Like, so conservative. Also, that line by Liberty is so iconic.
Propaganda.
She's like, and my dad knows the mayor. Oh man. There's many iconic lines where I just also, like, random quotable ones, you know?
And he knows the mayor. Mm-hmm. Emma bumps into Sean by accident. That music starts. It's like, oh, like the Emma Sean music. That I guess their theme, their motif throughout the show. In the washroom, Ashley, Paige, and Terry are talking about how Ashley has a shitty attitude after NAK because she loses airtime. And we get our first mention of Heather Sinclair.
Our queen that we never
the Heather Sinclair who we never see. But it's just talked about constantly. But Heather Sinclair has an agent, and Terry thinks that Ashley could get one too. Toby's mom is a casting agent, so Ashley's like, this is perfect opportunity to try to, like, curry favor. But Paige is like, not on my watch. He's like, I'm gonna get this agent. Because you want an agent, Ashley? I want an agent.
Honestly, okay, also, the two episodes that we're seeing this week, the cattiness between the three of these girls is astronomical. Like, it's off the scales.
But also accurate.
So accurate. It's like it's so, like, accurate and toxic, and it's like, poor fucking Terry, man. She just can't catch a break. She can't catch a break with these two.
She can't. Like, nothing Terry could, well, this episode at least ends in her favor, but
I know
she typically is kind of like just the ignored, you know. I mean, we've established from last week she is their Duff, I guess, unfortunately. I which is bullshit because look at her. Toby wants to come up with an anti-parents plan, and they go over to Because he's talking to JT. He's like, we need to come up with a fucking plan, right? They go over to Emma and Manny's table where Emma's still complaining about the NAK. And she's like, they run, you know, commercials during the news broadcast and they're trying to win our brand loyalty and capitalism. And she very indignantly says, I could talk or I could take action. It gets up and like storms away. I'm like, oh, Emma.
And who is Emma in this episode?
Caitlin, like, shit.
She's our little Kate and Caitlin, Captain Save-A-Ho.
Yep.
But
though her anger is justified, though.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Problematic. Though they're focusing more on like the capitalism of it all. I'm focusing more on just like the blatant racism.
Yeah. Because they
refer to poor children of color as cockroaches. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Not okay.
Yeah.
So astronomically problematic. Like, it's not even trying to hide the racism. Like, you refer to poor brown children as vermin. This is not, we decided a long time ago, this is not okay language.
No.
No, we're not doing this in 2001, okay? like, as if 2001 was so progressive. Right. But Spinner, oh my God, these episodes are 20 years old.
Oh my God, shut up, Sadiq, please.
It just occurred to me
it's
20 years old.
Oh God, okay, all right, okay.
What the actual fuck, like,
okay, like, so this is our last episode. Am I about to stroke out? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna like turn into dust, like at the end of Hocus Pocus. I'm just gonna like,
pff. I know.
Like, bye bye.
Yep.
So Spitter tries to tell. Okay, so he's trying to tell Paige a joke, but she's distracted. She's thinking about Ashley. What about Paige tells Spitter though that she's someone who wants to hear a joke? Like, Paige is like, has a sense of humor, but only at the expense of other people. She's not the kind of person I'm like, hey, I got one for you. Like, no, Paige does not want to listen to your joke. But anyway, she's like, do you think Ashley's prettier than me? And he's like, what? No. And she's like, Ashley's getting an agent. I'm gonna get one. And he's like, okay. Typical guy, just like,
I know,
sure, good for you.
Exactly. Like,
now listen to this joke. Did you check his t-shirt, his your girlfriend thinks I'm hot t-shirt,
which is like such, that's so Spinner. Like, Spinner is definitely that guy in school that like would wear that like female body inspector t-shirts. Like, he's, because
I was literally thinking about that.
He's the,
just because we are so in tune with that.
I know. He is the person, his, like, family is, like, they're, like, the Ocean City family that, like, how do I want to describe this? They're the Ocean City family, they're the water park family that, at family dinners and events, like, they're saying the N-word with a hard R. They are, blackout drunk on the boardwalk, like with a stroller. Like, they're the ones buying these t-shirts.
And yeah, they are.
I called
them. They're the people who went to Action. They went to Action Park. Bitch, if they were from Jersey, they would go to Action Park.
Yes. Yes. And they turn in,
yeah,
their kids turn into, if they don't turn out like racist pricks, they turn out to be some of the funniest people ever because of their upbringing, right?
They literally grew up in the circus.
Yes, like when I don't know, listener, hopefully you understand what we're saying. Like, they are water park families. If you know what we're talking about, you know what we're talking about. If you don't,
no, I know what you mean. Know. Like, there's water park families. There's Disney families. There's definitely like specific types of families specific to the kinds of things they do as a family. Mm-hmm. Are you a water park family? Or are you like a camping family? Like, that's like they're different people.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's overlap though.
There is some overlap. It depends on what kind of camping. Are you RV camping family or a tent camping family where you go hiking? Are you lake people?
Yeah. Who are you, more mountains? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you
like normal and don't go on vacations with your family?
Yeah, are you cabin people? Because that's something, a class marker. If you have, like, we go to our cabin, then it's like
our beach house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're shore people. Do you own the house you're going to, or do you, is it a timeshare, or do you just like rent wherever you go? Like it's this, there's layers here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a water park. He's their water park people.
Yes.
Like floating Band-Aid in the wave pool by people.
Oh my God. Like I can't take back those memories in my mind. Of going to water parks.
I'm not gonna lie though, I love a water park though.
I can't
not lie.
As like, a child, water parks are the best.
They're like the most disgusting they're the most disgusting places to go. But if someone was like, Sunique, wanna go to a water park this summer, like, well, probably not because of COVID, but if it wasn't for COVID, I probably would be like, I could do a water country USA. Like I would fuck with that. Those rides are fun as fuck.
Listen, watching Class Action Park, I was like, listen, that seems fun. Okay. not the only the water rides, because the ones that didn't involve water, I'm like, that just sounds like I'm going to like get scraped up by concrete every time. But the water ones,
documentary, like, guys, if you haven't if you haven't watched Class Action Park, it's on HBO Max. I highly suggest it. It was such a good, so many comedians have gone to Action Park as kids. Like Chris Gethard was there. It was in that whole documentary. I was like, interesting. Interesting people.
That's the thing. You either
come out of that world.
If you're a water park family, you either turn into a racist prick or you turn into a very funny person. You know?
You're right.
The adversity of growing up at a water park. Either it makes you great, you know, it can make you great.
University of growing up in a water park. Emma goes to Radich to argue the bias of NAK, but apparently NAK has provided the school with new computers so long as they run their programming. Emma thinks this is bribery, but also I'm like, this is school, public school, because we had things like this too.
Yeah,
like those soda machines in the school, like. If it's like, you know, the Dasani, like they have grants and stuff that they give to public schools in exchange for brand, for trying to build brand loyalty, honestly, with kids. Also, Dasani is disgusting, but like, it's like the weirdest water I've ever had. But like, but yeah, that's like a thing in public schools. Like, yeah, you need, I mean, ideally the government provides all the funding for the school, but they don't. So somehow you have to subsidize it with private enterprise. And that's just what happens. And
listen,
you know,
mama's gotta pay those bills any way possible. Okay. We gotta feed these fucking babies.
I hate it. I hate that. I hate that it's like that. Cause I agree with Emma. Like, I think it's wrong, but like, unfortunately the issue is the system in which we don't provide enough funding for education that schools have to turn to, you know. There's that episode, remember that episode of Daria where that happens? There's like, what was it? The school ends up getting like branded by this like soda company, and like it's like everywhere, and it's kind of like a commentary on this practice. But like the school becomes like a branded entity with this soda company in order to like fund the school. But yeah, it's an issue that happens.
I feel like there's several like shows that kind of had that plot line. Now that I'm remembering it,
Remember Saved by the Bell, the oil company. Like
Big Oil.
Big Oil gets involved at Bayside High.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a weird episode.
I know. Like, I'm like, wow, they really were like teaching all this shit, like in a lot of different ways and shows. Never really realized it.
They were. And it's a relevant issue. And I'm sure it's still a problem. I mean, I haven't been in public school in years, but I know the U.S. government is not funding education the way it should. So I'm sure it's
still only gotten worse since we've been there, I'm sure.
Or I'm sure it's gotten worse. Radich encourages Emma to write an opinion piece in time for the parents' edition of The Grapevine if she feels so strongly about this situation. Ashley signed Shia and Terry up for the volunteer committee so they can meet Toby's mom. Paige is also volunteering, of course. Not shocking. This is weird. So she sits down, Emma sits down next to Sean to write her opinion piece, and Sean is just being really aggro, which I guess is his thing. Like, he's just hot and cold because like they danced at the dance and now he's like acting like she's this inconvenience to him specifically. weird. But Toby decides that he's going to convince his parents not to come to Parents' Day by forging a letter to both of his folks.
he's like, look at technology. Look what technology could do. I can copy and paste and add the school logo to here, type up the letter here, and I can scan and get Mr. Simpson's signature from his last letter that he sent home. Look, technology. Bada bing, bada
boom. Forgery. Yeah, he is like doing full computer nerd, but like it's interesting because I think Toby is a perfect example of a nerd in that like he's technologically capable, but he's also really dumb, which I think is fun because I think a lot of times the whole nerd trope is like, oh, he's also a genius. It's like, no, he's actually like not. And I appreciate that he's smart, but like not that smart because he has plans like these. But I'm like, this is clearly going to fall apart.
Yeah.
You know,
he's definitely like in comparison, like yeah. It's, he's like, he's best friends with JT. Like, they're not.
Yeah.
The nerd of the show is Liberty, and full stop, and maybe Emma.
Yeah, they're both Emma and I mean, honestly, all the grade sevens are dorky, but
yeah,
I think in different ways, right? So like they're all dorks, but in different ways. JT is just like class clown, kind of like wants to be cool so bad, but just isn't. Toby is like computer nerd, but also just not really that good at school. So he doesn't really save the nerdy interest because he like has nothing to show for him, really. Liberty is like genuinely probably going to go to Harvard and like yeah. is going to run the world, but no one's going to appreciate her right now because we're 12 and she's just doing too much. And Emma's, yeah. I think Emma's pretty nerdy too because she has very specific interests in the environment, but her saving grace is that she seems to have like at least some kind of social like standing or at least awareness.
Yeah, she's like
for the most part. And then Manny, we haven't really gotten into Manny yet. We hardly know Manny at this point. She's just kind of there.
Manny's the silent background best friend who's about to mm-hmm. steal the fucking show in a few seasons.
Yes, who's like vaguely ethnic. We don't know that Manny is Filipina yet. But she is. Yeah. And I remember spending very many years in the show being like, Manny's not white, but I don't know.
What
is she? I thought she was Latina because her name was Manny Santos. And it's like, oh, she's Latina. And then you found out it's like, oh, she's Filipina. Okay. And Cassie Steele is half Filipina. I'm like, ah, okay.
I also wonder.
Makes way more sense now.
Because at this point, I'm like, I mean, I'm sure she has a last name that like her character does, but I'm wondering at this point, like if the writers had decided what she was. So like, well, we're going to keep it open. She's probably Latina. So we're going to name Manny Santos. And then she's like, oh, you're half Filipino? Okay. Well, we can't change your name, but here you go. You know?
Well, thankfully, a lot of Filipino people have Spanish last names. So this actually works perfectly.
Like, thank goodness for colonization.
You just transition you easily. You're Filipino now. You're like, oh God, thank God for the Spanish, you know? Oh, you make her Asian. Perfect. Love it.
Yay.
Write it down, write it down. We're getting nervous. We weren't sure. Like, God forbid she would reveal that she's Italian. And it's like, oh, she's white. Emma manages to get her op-ed in. She misses the deadline, but Liberty gives her an exception, you know. But she's trying to run a professional paper, and I think Emma should really respect that. Toby gives his father the letter and immediately he sees through it because Toby can't spell. And Toby tells his dad that mom is coming. That's why he was trying to get them to not come. He immediately starts to freak out. He's like, oh, your mother's coming. Didn't tell me. He's like, you literally are trying to fight her and she's not here. Like you are doing the fucking most.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for Toby because he's stuck between two feuding adults who have fucked, which is like the worst place to be.
Oh, the hate, the like the weird love hate and consistent sexual tension that will forever exist, you know?
Oh yeah, I was waiting for them to like fuck on Simpson's desk.
I know.
You know, I was like, you guys want to do it, and that's why Simpson looks so uncomfortable. Not because they were arguing, because he was like, should we leave? Because you guys
like this is getting hot and heavy.
Bang went out right now.
Yeah.
He's an adult. He gets it. He's like, you guys want to have hate sex so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really sad for Toby. Like, cause it's just like his parents are not, I mean, like it's, I don't know. I feel like it's, obviously, you know, ending a marriage and that kind of conflict is obviously very, it's a very difficult time for the adults involved, but it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, they're not realizing yeah. how much it's affecting Toby, you know, like everything, even independent mm-hmm. when they're just talking to him one-on-one, like this situation, like they're not picking up on it really, or like having some like self-realization of like how they're talking and how they're communicating.
You're totally right. They're being very, they're very much wrapped up in their own shit and they're not cognizant of how it's negatively impacting Toby. But Toby gonna let them know though. He gonna let them know today. It's Parents' Day. Oh yeah. Parents' Day, Ashley's stressing out about meeting Toby's mom or seeing her. Does Paige have IBS? Because she's constantly exiting a bathroom stall after what I imagine taking a massive shit and just be like,
yeah.
Blush walks out dramatically. She walks out and like looking like Christina Aguilera pre-dirty era. So just peak pop princess Christina.
Yes.
With her little like crop top and just like glittery and like a fake tattoo.
It's so early 2000s because it's like just dressing after all the girls that are in magazines at this point. Like she's got her stick on like fake mm-hmm. tattoos. She's got one of like the like barbed, the classic barbed wire like tribal like dragon-esque fire band around her arm. And then she's got at some point mm-hmm. later, I see that she has like a belly button tattoo of like a gold sun, like around her belly button. Cause her midriff is fully out and about. But
of course it
was so funny because this, so like we see that Ashley's like, listen, I can't stand Ashley's acting. I'm going to say it right now. It's terrible. It's atrocious. I can't with Ashley's acting. I'm gonna say it right now.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a bit
we got a double whammy of Ashley's acting this week, and it was too much for me. But I was dying when she was like in the mirror, and she's like, she's trying to put on eyeliner, and she's like, look at me, I'm shaking. She's so nervous. She's like, Terry's like, okay, let me help you. That Terry like is trying to help. Honestly, you can't help someone put on eyeliner. That's very difficult, like unless you're holding onto their head.
It's hard to do. Yeah.
Terry's trying to help her. And then she goes, what are you, blind? I don't know what it was about the scene, but it's just like, Ashley, like, shut the fuck up. Like, she's so annoying.
No, she is annoying. She's doing too much. And she's like, and Terry is her, like, little punching bag. Like, mm-hmm. it happens in the next episode. Like, Terry's always her little punching bag. I'm like, Terry's trying to help your ass out with your fucked up eyebrows. Like, you need to concentrate on fixing your eyebrows, not your eyeliner, babe. That's why Paige can outdress you. You're she's all black, like she's going to a fucking funeral. At least Paige got the razzle dazzle, okay?
Come on now, you got it.
Paige stands out.
She stands out, and she knows how to make an entrance, okay?
She does after flushing the toilet. I think Paige does this because she's trying to distract from the smell, and she just like has to come out like really dramatic. So you're paying attention to that and not the fact that she just took a huge dump.
Exactly. I love how she was like, hun, she calls everyone hun. She's like, hun, I would,
hun.
She said something about her eyeliner. She's like, I would lighten up on the eyeliner. You look a little bit washed out. It's like, oh, the shade that Paige delivers on a consistent basis.
A little washed out. You're like, yeah, I'm washed out. She's like,
I know.
Ashley looks in the mirror just shaking. And she's like, I'm so washed out.
Oh my gosh. Ashley is like,
God, Paige is amazing. I love her. I'll never stop loving Paige being a huge cunt to everyone.
It's the reason for this entire show. Like the ultimate alpha is Paige Michaelchuk. Like, I would be fucking terrified of her in high school.
Me too. She's so mean, but like, so badass though. Like, she's funny as hell. Her bullying is funny. Like, I'm not gonna lie. If I was in class with Paige, she was bullying someone, I would laugh, but not too loud, because then she'd hear you and be like, "What are you laughing at?" I'm like, "She sees me."
Yeah,
most definitely. I'm being perceived.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Toby's mom shows up. And Paige and Ashley are just kind of like, you know, trying to like jockey for attention. But Toby's parents are very curt and tense to each other. So it's like, oh, okay, this is going to be very awkward. They get to Mr. Simpson's class and he's talking to Toby and his parents. And Toby's marks are down a bit because he doesn't apply himself. But Simpson's like, Toby's very smart. He just doesn't, you know, he turns in work late, blah, blah, blah. Makes a huge mistake saying that, because now they start arguing because Toby's mom's like, well, what's your job? Like, why aren't you making sure he gets his homework done? And he's like, well, where are you? Too busy with your career woman, but with your little pantsuit. But you think you're so special, your little pantsuit. My new girlfriend, she wears pearls and she vacuums in heels. Cause yeah, she is June Cleaver. We've got a weird sex thing about it. Okay. I like to come home and she's like, Ward. And I'm like, oh fuck. And then I'll be fucking I don't know. I decided to do this whole, like, they have a weird cosplay thing, but that's their thing.
Most definitely.
I'm not here to kink shame anybody. You know, he loves it. He's just like, oh, fuck. Like, she's got a hoop skirt on. He's like,
Listen, we know who it's you like, are. Like, Poor Toby and Ashley are just like, here they go again. Like, jeez.
Like, the last time, I'm not the beef. Stop calling me that. My name is Toby.
Wait, what's that from?
Oh, that's unfortunate. My name is Toby. Roots. Well, in this case, Toby's like, my name is Toby.
Yes. Yes. I was like,
I'm not Beaver Cleaver.
Perfect.
So Spike and Emma are walking down the hall and she's so proud. She's so short. It's so cute because Emma's like very tall for her age, and Spike is like, Chrissy's like little woman.
Even with like 2-inch platform sandals on.
She's like the teeniest little woman. But Emma over garbage. This is bullshit. And Emma's like, excuse me, I wrote this and it's not, and this is why. And Sean's brother like, okay, but like there's poor kids in the school who need these computers. Like, do you think about that? I appreciate him providing context and a counterpoint. However, Sean's brother is 30 and arguing with a 12-year-old and calling her an idiot. And Spike doesn't say anything. I thought it was my mom. She'd be like, who the fuck you calling an idiot? Like, she wouldn't just stand there like, Emma, you got this? Like, no. This man is insulting your daughter. But they start arguing. He's like, looks like garbage, smells like garbage, like throws it away. And I'm like, dude, you lost the debate when you started fucking throwing names around.
Yeah. Man. It's very weird because it's like also like you're arguing with like a 12-year-old. How old are you, sir? Like, it's weird.
It's so weird. Back to Simpsons class, parents still arguing. Simpson keeps trying to interject, but they just keep going on and on about what is why they got divorced, blah, blah, blah. And Toby finally speaks up and he's like, listen, I take responsibility for my poor grade. It's no one's fault. And he's like, just stop using me as an excuse, another excuse to argue, you fucking idiots. And they're very embarrassed, as they should be. And yeah. Mr. Simpson's kind of like, tell him. He didn't say nothing, but he's like,
a little bit of a neck roll.
y'all really embarrassing. Yeah, he's like, y'all showing your ass right now. Let's continue with this meeting. Ashley and Paige pretend to care about Toby and to get his mom's attention, and she's like, she doesn't give a fuck who they are, but she apologizes to Toby. And as she's leaving, she notices Terry and she's like, you got an interesting look, give me a call, hands her a card. And Terry's like,
Yeah, and Paige and Ashley see it,
Paige are bitter.
Not our fat friend Terry. She can't be beautiful. She could be more beautiful than us because we're not fat. If she's beautiful, what does that make us? The only thing we have going for us is that we're not fat.
Literally that. Paige is like, but I'm wearing a midriff and Terry cannot. How can he?
What, everything that society told me is a lie. Yeah.
Face cracked, literally. Yeah. I'm happy that Terry got the upper hand in this one. In the computer lab the next day, Sean sits down to, or lets Emma sit down next to him, and he sends her a little IM apologizing for his brother for being an idiot. And she apologizes for being too opinionated as well. Mm-hmm. He's like, by the way, I didn't think your piece was garbage. And she's like,
I love Emma's little like gap in her teeth that she has right now. Cause like sometimes you're just it's so cute, but it's like, it's so drastic. Her mouth would be closed and then it's like, she'll smile. It's like, oh, look at it. It's so juvenile. It's so cute.
I love a front tooth gap. I think that's, yes. They're so cute. And it always makes me sad when people close them. Just like, I know. No, keep your gap open. In West African culture, a gap is actually a sign of beauty. So having a front tooth gap is actually very attractive in women if you have one. Mm-hmm. It's like hot. That and like neck rolls. If you have like kind of like the, like a rolly neck.
Ooh.
Very sexy.
If I have a little bit of a rolly neck. I got a crease right there. I just got to lean back a little bit so you can see it.
So it's actually more like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like almost like you look like you have rings on your neck in a way.
I know.
It's like, yeah, it's like that like thing. I don't know. My sister has it. I don't have it, but she has it and people think it's very cool.
Well, we can get you a gap in your teeth. We'll work with it.
Yeah, shave it down. So Mr. Simpson calls Toby aside in the hallway. He talk about Toby's parents real quick, though he does call him out for forging his signature. So he has to write a 10-page paper on why it's wrong to falsify documents. But Snake tells him that he's proud of Toby, and Toby walks away. He's proud of himself too.
Mm.
And that's the end.
It was very cute. But also like a 10-page paper, nice 24 hours. That's a lot.
Also, like, how much can you say about falsifying documents in 10 pages specific to what he did? It's like,
exactly.
Bro, like, you're doing too much. You're going to get a smooth 2-pager and you're going to have to just deal with that, Mr. Simpson.
Exactly.
Sorry. Yeah. Exactly. Whose turn is it for the music this week?
How about you go first? How about we just always do that? You go first for the first song. I'll go second for the second one.
Okay. Or maybe you go first for the second one.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I chose, so I was thinking about Toby. Toby's family situation's not great. Is it the worst in the world? No, but I think when you're that age, it is like the worst thing. So I'm thinking about what would Toby be listening to like identify with the situation. And I chose My Name Is Eminem because Eminem famously has a lot of family issues. I feel like Toby sees himself in Eminem, even though his family issues are nowhere near as dramatic as Eminem. But when you're 12, it feels like it. He's like, yeah, Marshall Mathers gets it. So he's like bumping like My Name Is. Like, yeah, my parents are like fucked up and like so is my life, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yes, white boy angst, very much so. I love that. It told me so much of like that kid in school that like was really into hip hop, but like maybe like you wouldn't know it unless he like were talking to him, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not as obvious. It's not very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? What did you choose for this episode?
Since we are in the early 2000s, I can already tell you that there's going to be a lot of, Blink 182 and then moving into emo punk. There's going to be a lot of those in my song selection, I'm sure.
Yes.
So I chose by Blink 182, one of my favorite albums by them is this from the one of my favorite albums from them, this song, Stay Together for the Kids. And just very much like a song about, like, you know, being a kid of divorce and what it's like being in an environment where, like, your parents fucking hate each other, but they're trying to, like, do things or be better or create situations that are best for the kids. Or, oh my gosh, do you see that person behind?
I do. It's so scary. Because from where, how it looks on the screen, it looks like a ghost.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. There's, yeah, on camera, there's someone behind me next to my window. They're hanging up laundry. But, yeah. So it's, yeah, just kind of like a song about, like, you know, what it's like being, you know, kids of divorce or kids in a house where your parents hate each other. And, they're not either, they're getting divorced and they still are like being assholes to each other around you, or they're, you know, living in the same house because they want to stay together for the kids, you know, that kind of like very much like, like that old school idea about divorce that like you, like it's best to just stay together. Like that would be better for the kids rather than just get divorced. So yeah, that's my choice.
That's a great choice. Nice. I almost chose a Blink 182 song as well.
Ooh, girl, it is the season, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they'll show up a few times, I'm sure, on this playlist. But are you ready to jump into episode 6?
I am ready, girl. I'm ready. Like Ashley thought she was ready.
All right. So episode 6, The Mating Game, air date November 25th, 2001, Jimmy and Ashley's 8-month anniversary comes up with Paige playing Juliet to Jimmy's Romeo for their English class assignment. Ashley contemplates having sex with him to keep him interested. Meanwhile, Toby attempts to get closer to Emma when the 7th graders are given an assignment on endangered animals. All right, so.
I said, wow. I was on mute for a second, but what a hard hitter.
It is. It's a good one. We love to see teenagers contemplating whether or not they should have sex, especially with their middle school boyfriends. So in our cold open, Ashley shows Terry a really ugly like necklace for Jimmy. It's like A and J, or I guess maybe he has the J. He'll get the A and she gets the J. I'm not really sure what it is. Yeah. But it's ugly.
It's very, very ugly. Like you get it at the kiosk at like in the mall that like is going to turn your neck green kind of jewelry.
But like, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. But it's very much, I remember my brother had one of those chains. He didn't have any like pendants or anything on it, but it was like, those kind of like classic, like cool chains that everyone had.
Oh yeah. This is definitely the era of like, you want to be like iced
very
out.
Ugly though.
As ice out. As you can for the teenager, but like with chains and shit. I'm kind of happy that like gold chains have come back. Now I want to get a few like nice, like delicate, like gold chains. Ooh, yeah, I can later, stack.
Girl.
I think really cute. Ms. Kwan tells the kids that they are performing scenes from Romeo and Juliet, which God, the number of times Romeo and Juliet is used in teen television, like, it's the only Shakespeare play apparently, like it's I mean, I guess it's probably the most famous, but it's just like when in doubt, like no one's ever doing The Tempest, it's always Romeo and Juliet. But I'm acting like I read The Tempest. I didn't fucking read that book, come on. I'm just kidding, but I'm aware of it, right. So apparently Jimmy is paired with Paige and Ashley is the nurse in their scene, which I think is a great role. She's very annoyed by it.
Exactly.
To be honest, I think when it comes to Romeo and Juliet, and that I have read Romeo and Juliet more than once, the secondary characters are all better than Romeo and Juliet, I think.
Exactly.
Like, they have the best lines. Like, they're interesting. Like, give me Mercutio.
Come on now. Come on.
Don't be so sad that you're not Juliet. Like, who gives a fuck about Juliet? She's fucking basic. Juliet, the fact that Taylor Swift is saying about her tells you how basic she is, okay? You don't want to be
thank
her.
Thank you. You got it. You nailed it on the head right there.
Right.
I also, like, Miss Quad is fucking savage because, you know, like, because according to Ashley, they've been dating seriously for 8 months. So Miss Quad fucking knows that Ashley and Jimmy are dating. And she's like, let me stir the pot a little bit. She knows how Paige is. And she's like, all right, we're going to. Paige and Jimmy are going to be Romeo and Juliet. And who's going to be the fucking nurse that's going to have to be in their scene together? Ashley, bet. Let's go. And then just like walks out of the room.
Miss Kwan,
like,
is literally Ms. Kwan is literally Regina George after she like spreads the burn book. She's just standing there, her arms crossed, just watching everything
burn. Yes.
Oh, destroying these kids' lives. I love her. Yeah. JT tells Toby that Dr. Sally is coming to Degrassi, but for the grade eights. And I was very excited that Dr. Sally is made an appearance in this episode. JT's like, yeah, Dr. Sally's amazing. She brings sex toys and she even brings like porn. And I'm like, no.
Such a young boy mindset.
Like, little boy, no.
Sex ed is going to be so hot. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's like, no.
It clearly he knows who Dr. Sally is. I'm like, do you want to watch porn with Dr. Sally? Like, no offense to Dr. Sue Johansson. She is a fucking icon. But like, she's not like, this isn't like some buxom blonde who's going to like teach you sex ed. It's fucking old lady.
Exactly. Like, what the hell? Like, what is this fantasy you have, JT? Like,
right. JT's like a little sex pest in the making.
JT, his main porn category he clicks on is like grandma, mature. Yes, mature.
Yeah, I think don't ask me why I know that's the actual name of the category.
What? Who? Ooh. Listen, because you have to scroll through. You have to scroll through. Like,
yeah.
Anyone that's on a porn site knows all the categories, even if you're not clicking.
We know all the categories. We have a joke, Evan and I, like. Because like, the porn characters are always so silly, and like the titles of porn are always funny. So we're always like, for me, it's like petite ebony, big titted ebony gets fucked by white stud. Like, yes. The names always are like Mad Libs. Like,
I'm exactly, like, exactly.
Yeah, so like that's my category, I guess. It's like, you know, that's my thing. Anyway,
take out Sadiq's OnlyFans if you guys are interested. If that's your category.
Yeah, if you're interested in big tid petites.
Or when it, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's always weird. Always weird.
They're always so embarrassing. Like, why are the names that? They're so like racist and weird. But so the media immersion kids. So fucking racist. The media immersion kids have to make a website about an animal they like. And of course, Emma's like doing hers on a hyper specific endangered turtle name. What's her name? Mama Onu or something?
Yeah.
She's like, Mama Onu. You know, Mama Onu. And Simpson's like, who is that? Fucking talking about a little girl.
As a teacher.
If there's... I was a teacher, it'd be so hard. Yes, please tell us. Because I was going to be like, how do you, I was going to say, how do you deal with kids being too enthusiastic and not just wanting to fucking.
Okay, the thing is, at first you don't realize who the student is until it's too late. So, like the first few times, you're like, "Oh, like cool! Like I have an engaging student. Like they're very like talkative in class. They want to participate. This is great." Then it's not that awkward thing where I have to like talk to the class and try to like pull teeth just to get people to participate. So you're at first excited. And then they're excited that you're excited. So they also kind of want to like talk to you after class and like ask you questions. And like, depending on the project, they're like, well, can I do it on this? Can we talk? Like, you know, Emma's like, can we do it about a specific animal? And then you're like, yeah. And then like, it's a few weeks in and then you realize, oh my God, this fucking student is the fucking worst. Everyone in the class is so annoyed by them and I'm starting to get annoyed by them. But now the student thinks that I like them. So I have to keep it up, but it's getting harder and harder to not like roll my eyes like blatantly at them.
I mean, like that's like you have serious restraint. Cause I know if I had a student like Emma and she was like, Mama Onu, I'd be like, who? And she like, you know, Mama Onu? I'm like, no, Emma, I don't, because I have a fucking life. Who's Mama Onu? And I get fired.
Exactly. Exactly.
I would think that to my head, in my head, like, no, I don't know who this endangered turtle is because I have sex. So, no, sorry. Exactly. I'm hot. I don't know about endangered turtles.
I'm hot shit. Okay, Emma.
Like, sorry. Hot people don't care about turtles.
Facts. True. Straight facts.
Sorry.
But yeah, the hard thing about being a teacher is that you don't realize who the teacher's pets are until it's too late. The students already know, but like you don't realize it. And then you're like, fuck, I'm trapped. Like I'm trapped. I can't get out of this. It's hard.
Damn. But Toby has a fantasy about Emma in the scene and it makes me uncomfortable. His faces are, he makes the most uncomfortable faces. And I don't like it. I cringed
very much. And it's like,
I cringed so hard that I turned into a little diamond. My face was so tight.
Yeah. It's very like his face is like of Emma and her like tie dye, mega metallic limited to like t-shirt from the dance.
The fan in her hair.
Yeah, the fan's blowing, but it's very much, it's like an accurate, like she's just their teenage kind of like gangly self, like kind of like awkward Emma. And, but like, they're like Toby seeing her in this like very like sexy, like hot way. And it's very funny. And he's like, oh.
She's like, Toby. And he's like, oh. He's like, oh. Dr. Sally is talking to the grade eights about erections. And of course they're giggling because who wouldn't? And she demonstrates condom usage on a banana. But Spinner raises his hand because he has a question. He asks Dr. Sally, like, I have a friend. She's been dating his girlfriend for, say, eight months. He's, let's say, Black. She's, let's say, class president. And how do they know they should fuck? Yeah. And this Dr. Sally is like, well, physically, they are ready. I wish I could do an impression of Dr. Sally. Well, physically, they're ready. But emotionally, you've got to decide which is, you know, you've got to decide.
Emotionally. Exactly. Yeah. It's basically, that's basically how it is. Like, she sounds like a very, like, I don't know, matter-of-fact white lady. But she's like,
you got to practice safer sex. And this is how you do it. Yeah, that's her voice.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to use my Dr. Sally voice next time I want to seduce Evan. Like, hey, Evan, you think you want to have sex? Sex? We'll have safer sex.
What do you say, eh?
What do you say, eh? Huh? I'm Dr. Sue Johansson. So
perfect.
The girls are talking about Dr. Sally. And Ash is like, oh, fuck Spinner. Everyone knows he's asking about me. We're the only ones who've been together for 8 months. And I'm like, makes sense because it's middle school. So you would be the only couple that have been together. You're practically married.
So annoying.
Paige is like, but honestly, like, yeah, you've been together for 8 months. Like, what's this? You guys are going to have sex or what? Like, you know, should I get out the pot? Jimmy made Ashley a little heart-shaped clay thing. And Paige rightfully calls her out. She's like, you got him a $50 silver chain. He gave you a hunk of clay. Okay, girl? And walks away.
Reed, listen, fucking Paige is consistently reading people for filth and then just walks away and like just like mic yes. drops and walks away, and it's perfect.
The way that Paige is like a early Mesopotamian woman, the way she just gathers everyone around her, she's just gathering perfect. All of you in a basket, okay, bitches.
Listen,
I got an A in history.
She's about to feed a fucking village with all those fucking
the way she gathered these bitches. Listen, I love it.
She's fucking perfect. She does it so well, and the thing is, it's so accurate.
Lauren Collins acting is so good in this. The way she does it too, she's just like, okay, hun,
and also, didn't even mention it. Sorry, we have to take a break for some Degrassi news. They're doing like a virtual Degrassi reunion for Next Gen.
Yes, it's part of some like film festival.
Yes,
I did. Do you know when it is? It's June 11th. It's a virtual festival to commemorate 20 years since its premiere, and they've confirmed series co-creator and executive producer Linda Skyler, Stephen Stone. And of course, Stefan Brogren and Jake Epstein, Aislinn Paul, Shane Kippel, Lou Billick, Lauren Collins, Monroe Chambers, Daniel Clark, Andrew Lewis, and Christina Schmidt will all be there. Ooh, how do I get tickets to this? Because it's part of ATX TV Fest.
Yes, ATX. That's what it was.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep you guys posted on that. We should. I would do this. I would go to this. Virtual festival is probably really cool.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Very happy. Oh, Miss Andrea Lewis said that she thinks her time talking about Degrassi is over, but you got time to go to a festival, girl. You ain't on our podcast. What's that about? Huh? Like, nah, I love her. I'm sure she's being paid to do it.
Right, exactly.
They have a budget. We don't. Yeah, so exactly. At lunch, Spinner is hype because he's like, yo, like I bring this. He's like, Shakespeare was wild, which I don't think they were writing it in this way, but I feel like the way he said that is the way people use wild today, that it made it timeless. But yeah. He's like, Shakespeare was wild. He's like, Romeo and Juliet were fucking at 14. Like, this is crazy. Like, I love that. Like, this book is so horny. He's like, I think Spinner's into it. Okay. Paige flirts with Jimmy as she walks past. They're in like the cafeteria, by the way. Yeah. And there's some random guy sitting with them. He's like, you know, Paige had sex last summer with some guy from camp. And Spinner's like trying to get Jimmy to potentially get with Paige. But I thought Spinner and Paige were kind of having a thing. Like, what's, I guess not.
I think Paige is under the understanding that like she and Spinner are like talking, you know?
But Spinner doesn't get it yet.
Yeah, Spinner doesn't know anything. He's not picking up on anything. So. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Cause he's trying to pimp her out to his friend. Mm-hmm. Toby very strategically at lunch places a magazine down next to Emma about Ninja Turtles. And of course she's interested. Sean's there during this conversation and Toby's like, yeah, there's this documentary about turtles. We should watch it. Manny's like, come over to my house and we can all watch it. Emma invites Sean. And Sean is the emotional intelligence of him being like, picking up on the fact that Toby clearly has a crush on Emma and knowing that he has a better chance with Emma, but he's like, all right, bro, like, actually, no, I'm busy. I can't come. I'm gonna give you a chance. But he's like, listen, but she coming home to me. Don't worry about it. You can talk to her all you want. She gonna call me tonight though. He knows.
Don't worry about it.
Real smooth like that. He's like, yeah, y'all enjoy. I got things to do.
Exactly.
So they're like, yay, great. We're gonna watch this movie. In Ms. Kwan's class, Jimmy and Paige are practicing their lines and Ashley's just like angrily watching from the background. And Paige actually kisses Jimmy though, which is very bold. Ashley enters the scene way too soon. Ms. Kwan's like, hey, Ashley, like you're a little bit early. Like maybe reset the scene. As if she didn't cause all of this. She's like, Ashley, what's girl? What's going on? Like you're not, the nurse hasn't come in yet. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also thought it's also weird. It's like, that she clocked all this, but wasn't like, hey, Jimmy and Paige, maybe like don't kiss. Like, we don't really need to.
Save it to our performance. Or like, you don't need to kiss. Like, it's an English class. It's not drama class. It's English.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's like, oh, that's. Yeah. So Miss Kwan apparently has no rules. Like, you can get freaky in class. Who knew?
Miss Kwan is messy. She loves it. She's not saying anything about that kiss because she's like, oh, Ashley, are you okay? Did you not? They're just Ashley is just acting. It's acting.
Exactly.
It's, the world's a sage, as the bard would say. She walks away. I love this fanfic we have of Miss Kwan just kind of like destroying the Lazarus students.
Oh yeah.
You know she does. Mm. Terry tells Ashley to relax about this, but Ashley points out that Paige always wants what she has, and now she wants Jimmy because she has Jimmy. So she turns to Paige. She's like, listen, bitch, I know I'm onto you, whatever. And she's like, you're trying to stab me in the back. And Paige has an excellent line here, which I love because it's like moments like this where we remind that Paige is actually smart. Like she's not a dumb blonde. She actually has moments where she's like, she's witty and she's smart because Ashley's like, you're trying to stab me in the back. And Paige says, hun, Ashley, we're studying Romeo and Juliet, not Julius Caesar. And Ashley's like, what are you even talking about? I'm like, girl, you don't even get, you don't get the reference. Like, the read. See, honey, if you're illiterate,
come on now.
That's how you get read.
Bitch. Come on now.
Okay, because my girl Paige knows Julius Caesar, and she's like, oh, these bitches. She's like, these bitches. Like, I'm y'all my daughters. Okay, y'all my daughters. So
yeah.
Paige is like, okay, girl, I think you're just insecure. Maybe you want to work on keeping your man, and walks away.
That is the, I mean, if you want to just destroy someone that's like kind of like feeling insecure about something, maybe like you call them out on their insecurity when you know that they're mm-hmm. insecure. But I mean, that's mm-hmm. happening. And that's the thing. It's like, it's so accurate of what she's like, girl, like, is it? And at one point earlier in this episode, Ashley's like, our relationship is deep enough without sex. Or like, she's like, mm-hmm. our eighth grade relationship is deep enough without sex. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Sure.
Yeah. Paige is getting to her. And honestly, at the end of the day, Paige just likes to get to Ashley. Because they're frenemies. And I'll be like, Paige don't want Jimmy. Paige does not want Jimmy. Paige does not want Jimmy. She just knows that it pisses Ashley off. So she's doing it.
Exactly.
Which is toxic as fuck, but very funny to watch. Yes. So Ashley like makes sure she sees Jimmy. She like, kisses him in front of everyone. And she's like, okay, like I have something very special planned for you, an anniversary. I think I'm ready. Like my parents are out. Toby's out. Let's do it. And Jimmy's let's like, what?
Sex.
Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm like, no, you're not. You're literally trying to have sex with Jimmy just to get back at Paige. It's the dumbest reason to have sex with someone.
And even Jimmy, fucking shocked. Like, he's shocked. He's like, what? Like, he's like, as he's walking away, he's like having a realization of what she's actually saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he's just
yeah. Because like, he's like, I'm sure the initial is kind of like, oh, cool. But also like, where's this coming from? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I gave you a hunk of clay.
Yeah,
we like break up with me.
We just started French kissing at month 7. So like I don't know how we're jumping from that to like home base. Like I don't know. I didn't even fill you up yet.
We're just she's ready to steal some bases and he's like, I'm literally still in the dugout. Like
ma'am.
I haven't gone to bat yet.
Like you're giving me some sexual anxiety now. Don't know if I can perform.
Exactly. Jimmy walks home with Spinner and he tells him that Ashley wants to have sex. And Spinner says, man, you're gonna get some. You got horse shows up your butt. Oh, so funny. Like what? Like I get it, but like
I know.
Weird. Why?
Yeah, so like well, those like you got weird
horse
like
up your butt.
Middle school like insults that like it's like, what does that even mean? But okay.
Okay. But it wasn't even an insult. He just means you're lucky. Like you got a horseshoe up your butt. Like Mr.
Oh.
Lucky. But it's weird. It's a weird line that I think a child would not say. It's very clear that an older person wrote that.
Yeah.
Like you got horseshoes up your butt, man. Like, okay. But Spinner's like, hey, let's go buy condoms, which is the smartest thing he has ever said.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Ashley and Terry are buying condoms on the net. And Terry can't believe you can buy condoms on the net.
On the net. It's also like, I don't know what the system is that she's buying condoms from. I remember I didn't know. I still am unsure if this was a real thing or if this was just some like Degrassi universe makeup thing. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know what this like futuristic Amazon Prime type system is. But I was shocked that this existed.
Yeah, she had like she got that like what's it called? What's the other delivery service where people can go shopping for you?
Oh, Instacart.
Yeah, did she Instacart it? Because she got it like the next day. And I was like,
yeah, she could pay out a rival too.
I was like, it's 2001. Do they have that?
Yeah, like, let us know, Canadian listeners, if this was, if do you know the name of this service or is this just like a Degrassi thing?
Because I remember ordering shit online. Like, I actually didn't order anything online in 2001. Like,
no.
Online shopping kind of didn't really pop off.
I didn't even have my own debit card at that point.
Oh, that's true. I just realized I was 9. What would I be online shopping at all? but yeah, Terry's like, are you sure you want to do this? Because like you just said that your relationship was like deeper than sex and now Paige is getting at you and now you're like, you suddenly want to have sex. Like, I just don't want you to make a mistake. And Ashley, this bitch says, I can't believe I'm taking relationship advice from someone who hasn't even had a date.
This fucking like, bitch.
You're a bitch. And poor Terry just like, I gotta go. And she's like, leaves.
And Ashley,
like, poor baby.
And Ashley is even like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I should have said that. Like, she doesn't say anything as she leaves. She's like,
no, she's like, yeah, I said it.
Send order. Get these condoms.
To buy condoms for my sex with my boyfriend. Which this is this from what I remember. This Ashley says this kind of shit to Terry on several occasions where Terry tries Terry is quite smart and tries to be the voice of reason to Ashley. And Ashley always hits at Terry with like, when you get a boyfriend, you'll be able to, like, she always does that shit. And it happens more than once. And I'm like, this is a little bitch.
I know.
And I'm happy. I'm proud of Terry. She didn't take the bait. She just said, I gotta go. And left. I was like, I'm not even gonna, I'm not gonna deal with you. Yeah. She's like, it's on you. Good luck with your sex. So.
Hope you don't get an STD or pregnant. Good luck.
Like, good luck, girl. Yeah. At school, Emma's researching turtles. And Toby's helping him. And he has another daydream. And yeah. She has like these weird pigtails.
This hairstyle doesn't make any fucking sense. Emma's hairstyle, no. Both these episodes was so fucking weird. We get more dog ear type hairstyles, but this is like the style that she's wearing now is like something I would, like, my mom would do when I was like 5, like with little like braids. Same. Or twists. Like, she has two ponytails at the front and then one ponytail in the back, and it's like,
wow. My mom literally used to do that hairstyle. Exactly. For me when I was like in probably the second grade.
Exactly. And fucking Spike is a hairstylist. She let her walk out the door like that.
I know. Spike needs to help her daughter because she's just be let her. But maybe that's how Spike is like. That's how I'm going to make sure she don't have sex and she can get pregnant.
That's
if
true.
If she's looking like this.
That's true. About
that's probably her plan. Like, she buy them dolphin pants and shit. Like,
you keep wearing those dolphin pants, honey. Go right ahead.
She's like, baby, look great.
Work it, girl. Come on.
Yeah, I think that's something Molly MacLear has mentioned on her show. She was like, her mom used to like dress her like really young. And she's like, I think she did it for that reason, to just like keep me like kid-like. And hey, you know, okay. Spike is doing what she got to do. So Ashley meets Jimmy at his locker and Paige starts to be like really sneaky. Like, oh, you don't have to be here for our rehearsal, little, but... And I think in this moment, Ashley was probably second guessing having sex until Paige said that. And she's like, oh no, we're going to have sex. We'll do it.
It's totally on for tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so on. Emma can't make it to Manny's because she has to help Liberty edit the grapevine, which she'll be there like a bit later.
Yeah.
And Ashley gets home and she gets her condoms. Her mom is like asking questions about it, but not, my mom would have cried way more because I never got mail. If I suddenly just got a package, my mom would be like, where do you get a package from? Like, who sent you that? I'm like, oh, it's girl stuff. My mom does it now. If I, like, when I was living at home, I came back home from like, with like, it was annoying too. I remember one time I came home from like CVS or something.
Yeah.
Or I think I was going to CVS. I had to go get pads. And there was guests at the house. And she was like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I have to run to CVS. She's like, oh, what are you getting? I was like, I just have to get some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, can you mind your business, woman? I have to go get fucking tampons. Should I tell all the Africans here? Yes, I have to go plug my vagina right now. Like, what the fuck? Like, mind your business.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, she gets her stuff. And Jimmy's at the corner store getting his condoms, too. And the guy at the counter is just being really creepy and like, are you sure it's the right size, man? We got big, we got large, we got medium, we got micro, small, dick, penis size. We got different colors, we got different flavors. Like, and Jim's like, no, man, these are fine.
Yeah.
Please stop being weird.
Exactly.
Jimmy gets to Ashley's house. She's all jawed up for him. And they're both very clearly not into doing this. They're so awkward and like... there's no sexual tension here. It's like, these are two children who clearly don't want to have sex, but they feel like they have to.
They're like, with this kind of age of a relationship, you have nothing to talk about. After 8 months, you have absolutely nothing to talk about with your significant other, quote unquote. And like, they go into her room. Also, Ashley's wearing like the classic, like, middle school like sexy outfit, which is like one of those like halter top t-shirt dresses that has like a razor stripe on the side.
It was like kind of sporty, kind of dressy.
Very sporty Spice, like very Spice Girls-esque.
It's like a mix between sporty and posh.
Oh yeah,
because like kind of sleek like posh, but it's got stripes on it, so it's sporty.
exactly. Like, I'm about to get my man's. We're gonna go up to the room, and then you see her open the door. It's like every like Backstreet Boy like boy band poster known to man on her walls. It's like, wait, oh, no, dear.
But I like the touch that they aren't posters. They're clearly from magazines, which is what people did. You went in the magazine and you took out from your teen beat, like your Nick Carter, and you put it like behind that picture is like an article she didn't read. And she just like sticks and like it to her wall.
Like a ad for like Teen Spirit deodorant. Like, and it's like got all the creases in it, like, because it's been folded up in the magazine. It's not like flat.
Yeah, I love that. It's a nice touch that they did that, because it was just so, that was what teenage rooms looked like at that time. After school, Emma's still working with Liberty, but when they finally finish, she notices that Sean is still at school and still doing homework. She goes over to him and they sit down and start talking about his project. He's doing it on Springer Spaniels. Apparently he used to have one. And Emma's literally just like foaming. She's in like, the mouth, because she finally is like, oh my God, like we're making a connection. Like she's talking about his dog. Like this is, this is love. Like, he's talking about his past. He's so sensitive. He loves dogs. Oh my God. Only sensitive guys like dogs.
Yeah.
Like everyone likes dogs, sweetie. So Jimmy and Ashley are making out in her room. It's, which is super uncomfortable to watch, because they're both like 11.
And they're just like holding each other's shoulders. Ashley like
excuses herself. Sorry. Yeah. They're just like very stiff. Like it's so awkward. And Ashley excuses herself to freshen up. She goes outside in the hallway and it's like, girl, you don't want to do it. She's like, you don't have to, you shouldn't have to psych yourself up to have sex with your boyfriend. So don't. So she goes back in and Jimmy's found the condoms and she just admits, like, I don't want to do this. You know, you should probably go with Paige. Paige, you know, is the girl for you because she's done it, which we have not actually confirmed. I'm pretty sure we find out later that Paige is a virgin.
Yeah.
This is a rumor. No one has confirmed that Paige has had sex with anyone, but it's interesting that Ashley also believes it. I'm like, aren't you guys friends though? Did Paige tell you she had sex, or you just heard that she did? Or just Paige is, you know, likes to wear a crop top, so you assume she has sex.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's, she probably gave like a hand job at camp or something. And then it, you know, like how rumors probably escalate, where it's like she fucked 10 guys at camp the summer, you know, like that's how it escalates.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Like it's nothing, hardly anything happened, but she admits that she doesn't want to have sex. And Jimmy also was like, you know what? Yeah. I'm also not ready. Like I like you for you. I'm happy if we just don't have sex. So
yeah,
very cute. They exchange their little presents and like hug. And it's like, oh, little cuties.
Yeah.
Oh no, they don't exchange their presents yet, but they're just, but they've accepted that they're not having sex.
Yeah.
But we find out that Emma never showed up to watch the movie, and Toby's really sad about it.
He's like, I rented this for her. And when he gets home,
he finds that Ashley and Jimmy are blowing up. Toby is slowly becoming an incel. Like, y'all need to be careful, because Toby is going to jump off the deep end soon enough. But he gets home and he finds Ashley and Jimmy are blowing up the condoms like balloons. And they're just like being cute and like, you know, having fun in her room. And he's like, girls, Toby's like, Jimmy, girls aren't worth it. He walks away. He's and then they exchange their gifts and they're like, oh, hug.
Yeah. That ugly ass necklace.
Yeah. Ugly. It's so big. Like his, and Aubrey Graham, Drake got a skinny ass neck at this point in his life. You know, he's not beefed out yet. He's still a teenager. That thing is going to break his neck. Yep. As soon as he put that chain on, he'll hit the ground. Like, you can't be doing that to that little skinny neck boy.
He'll weigh him down.
You can't. It's right. Man down. At school, Emma tells Toby and Manny that she ran into Sean, and Toby's pissed because, you know, she basically ditched them for him. And Emma's totally oblivious, and Manny has to tell her outright, like, Toby has a crush on you. That's how he watched this stupid movie. Like, girl, wake up.
Yeah. Wake up, sis.
Yeah. Right. Like, how can you not tell? Like, Toby clearly is obsessed with you. So in our final scene at school, Spinner asks Jimmy about the sex, and he plays it off. He's like, oh, we're so close. Her brother came in, so we couldn't do it. He's like, oh, man. Ashley goes over to Terry and apologizes to her and admits that they didn't have sex, and Terry's happy about this. But the movie, the episode ends with Ashley being like, Jimmy was cool about it, entirely cool about it, but she looks like she's not happy with how cool he was. Is that what you got, or am I reading into this too much?
I think it was bad acting. I think it was bad acting, but because I think they're kind of like the kind of like after school special of it all being like, see, like, guys don't always pressure you to have sex. Sometimes they're not ready too. Like, he was really cool about it. But maybe it's kind of like kind of instilling in her brain, like the kind of like, oh, like starting to question like her relationship with Jimmy. Is she really wanting to continue it for a long time? Like, kind of actually evaluating her feelings for it. That could have been it, maybe. Because I'm trying to think of, I mean, spoiler alert, they eventually break up.
Right. And isn't this, I think this is, there is an episode this season, I feel like, when she kind of starts feeling smothered by him or something.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so that makes a lot more sense than what I was thinking. I was like, wait, it ended on a weird note that felt like it should end on like, yeah, he was cool about it, but it felt like, yeah, and he was cool about it.
Yeah, like, I think that's kind of like a little, like,
wish he wasn't cool.
Yeah. I think she, I mean, because we know how insecure she is. She's probably like, well, why did he not want to have sex with me? Does he not think I'm sexy enough to have sex with, even though she didn't want to have sex, you know, like how girls like read into everything.
Yeah.
It might be that.
Yeah. I can see that too. Okay. Maybe I like that. I like that idea. Maybe it is trying to set the stage for some, like, you know, discontent. So, okay, so it's your turn to pick a song.
Yes. So, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, Ashley, like, before, so, like, after her mom left, she's at the house, like, getting, like, her freakum dress on or whatever, and she's listening to, like, her boombox, like, top hits, like, radio station, or, you know, got her mix CD going in her boombox in her room. And she's, like, trying to get herself, like, pumped up to, like, have sex or whatever. She's, like, trying to, like, feel herself and, you know, like, feel good. So, in my mind, she would be having on her playlist, Let Me Blow Your Mind by Eve, featuring Gwen Stefani.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like,
yes.
Yeah. It's just like one of those ones where it's like, it's not like because it's not really like specifically about sex, but it's one of those things that's like, yeah, I'm going to give you it. Like, but you're not really like thinking about actual sex, but you're just like trying to feel confident about yourself. So you're like, yeah, I'm going to blow your mind. My milkshake brings the boys there. You know, like, type thing. Like, but it's like, you're not actually thinking specifically about sex.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those,
like, you also don't even know what you're doing. Like, I'm going to blow your mind. Like, you literally don't know how to have sex.
Yeah. But it's like one of those,
careful, you're tiger. Like, you're not there yet.
Yeah, and you're like kind of like awkwardly dancing in the mirror being like, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. But you're like,
well, I'm gonna have to listen to that song after this.
Oh, it's fucking good.
That is a good song.
And you got Gwen Stefani on there, who's like also like, this is, I mean, we are in the era of like peak Gwen Stefani. Queen. Cool. Yes. Gwen Stefani,
no doubt. Yeah. Yeah, this is because this is like after Gwen, No Doubt's kind of like moving away from their more like alternative sound to like kind of more mainstream pop stuff. So we're going to get like, because it's the same era as 2001, No Doubt. Sorry. This is not important, but I'm just like curious.
Oh, it's very important.
Because I think in a little bit, we're going to get like the, oh, what is it called? The name of the album, Rocksteady. Mm-hmm. That's the album. Fuck. Rocksteady, where you have, where I think they get a little bit more poppy. You got Hey Baby, yeah, Hella Good, yeah.
Oh,
ooh, Underneath It All, that's my shit.
That's like my summer song forever.
Yes.
Ever.
See, that's absolutely, yeah. I couldn't remember the name of it. With Lady Saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the previous album was Return of Saturn, and they're still doing the punk thing in this one. But then, yeah, it was when Rocksteady is when they went really like.
And pop. Hella Good is on like any playlist I will ever make forever, because that's it's always a relevant song.
It's a really great song. Damn. That's why, I love that choice.
That's why I say Hella so much. That was good. Honestly. Thank you. What was your pick?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that this album was what introduced Hella to me, because we're from not from the West Coast, so I've never
Hella heard good. That word. It's hella hot out here. Yeah, I say it too often, but I don't mind.
Yeah, no, I say it. It doesn't help that I watch Insecure so much, and they say hella all the time because they're in LA. Yeah. So I say hella, and I'm like, I've never been to California. I don't even know what I'm talking about. So I was thinking. So I chose a song that wasn't from 2001. It's a little bit older, but it's I couldn't stop thinking about Baz Luhrmann's Romeo plus Juliet.
Ooh.
Because you know Ashley loves that movie. You know she does. Like that movie was excellent. Everyone fucking loves that movie.
Yeah.
So I chose the theme from Romeo plus Juliet, Desiree's Kissing You.
Oh.
That like ballad. Like,
yes.
Because, like Ashley is also so dramatic about this relationship with Jimmy. You know, she listens to the song like, yes, like we are truly just like literally Romeo. Like we are Romeo and Juliet. Like we are like this super. I love how often teens want to be Romeo and Juliet. I'm like, guys, finish the book. It doesn't end good for both of them. But
yeah.
Romeo and Juliet is famously much like The Great Gatsby, a book that people like miss the point of.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, oh, I just want to go back to that time. Like, I just want to go back. It's like, you're not picking up on how.
The Great Gatsby is a horror story. It's not, these Hello? People are all bad. Like, this is not a thing you want to be.
Exactly. Juliet was betrothed to marry someone else at 13. That's problematic.
It's not great. It's not great. No. And like, you know, the whole killing yourself thing.
Yeah.
Love. Also, Shakespeare was kind of like criticizing what it means to be in love when you're a child because you think that's a good idea and it's not. Writing it as a rational adult, even back then, knowing, nah, guys, don't do this. This is not good.
That ain't it.
Anyway, he's like, never be me. So Kissing You by Desiree. Nope, sure won't.
Perfect. That's a great.
So that's a song I chose. Thank you. I'll add both those songs to the Spotify playlist. We have those linked in the description. So if you want to follow along to some of the songs, if you have suggestions for songs, let us know. We can add them to the playlist as well. We imagine this playlist is going to be probably heavy. It's going to be pretty big because we have a lot to wade through. Next week, we are going to be watching episodes 7 and 8, Basketball Diaries and Secret Lies. In Basketball Diaries, Jimmy wants to make the basketball team, but due to practice, his schoolwork suffers. To get an energy boost, he convinces Spinner to skip a Ritalin pill and give it to him instead. Oh, shit. We about to be doing Adderall. It's like, no, it's not the same thing, but oh, shit.
I know.
resulting in Spinner off his medication, mooning the audience during halftime. Jimmy, under the influence of Ritalin, gets himself into trouble when he hurts Sean in an attempt to take the winning shot. Meanwhile, Liberty is tired of writing Ashley's video announcement speeches and not getting any credit for it. Ashley then gives her a chance at doing the announcements with disastrous results. And
I forgot about that.
I remember this episode. And in Secrets and Lies, we got some good episodes. Ashley's dad is coming from Europe and she's happy until she finds out he's gay and cuts him out of her life. Meanwhile, Liberty has the biggest crush on JT, but he's not interested. When he hears about Ashley's father, he tells Liberty he too is a homosexual. This is the episode we watched at my sleepover.
Yeah.
When he first found Degrassi. This is the episode. I just flashback. That's the episode we watched.
Oh, I have another flashback one that I remember watching at that one, but I remember that also the gay one, because I was like, oh my god, this show is great, this is amazing.
Yes, because JT he does like a whole like fake like Libby girlfriend like thing, and it's like really offensive, but also at the time was okay, I guess.
Because I remember we kept on doing that to each other the entire sleepover. Like, we kept on, like, quoting, like, Sonika friend! Like, I remember we did that. Oh, my God. Because, you know, in middle school, like, a joke never dies. Yeah. It's never not funny. We're gonna kill it till it's it's good and dead.
No, it's never not. Yeah. Yeah, so guys, keep watching. We've been watching these episodes on YouTube. They're all there for free. $3.99. So jump in on it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to plug before we say goodbye to the people?
Nope. If you're wanting to follow me in my China life here, you can follow me at Lauren's China Life on Instagram and on YouTube. Yeah, so check me out. I'm stepping my, now that I have a comfortable bed and my life is, you know, looking up and up, at least I'm hoping so. I'm being more present on social media again, so, which is exciting. I miss it. So excited to be back and more active. So what about you, Sneak? Where can they find your ass?
Oh man. you guys can find
me. Your petite ebony.
My petite ebony ass. You can find me on Instagram at say_smythe. That's SEY_SMYTHE. Twitter at Sneek, SEYNIQUE. And on TikTok, I'm Almighty_Smyther. That is Almighty_SMYTHER.
Nice.
Cool. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. And as always, we will catch you later, Broomheads.
Bye, Broomheads.